point, simply put, is this. Point number five is that the man that God created has a balanced perspective of what he is and what he might become. I'm going to send you to the book of Job right now. Go to the book of Job, and we're going to go to Job chapter 15. I'm going to read that to you again. He has a balanced perspective of what he is and what he might become. The problem with many of us is that we don't know who we are, and you aren't becoming anything. What I mean by that is that as a pastor, I don't see enough, listen to your pastor, I don't see enough not being what you used to be and becoming something else. I don't see enough of you saying, well, hey, I'm sick of being in this position, and I want to get in this position. I remember, where is he at? Yeah, I was talking with my buddy. And he was saying, you know, Pastor John, I'm not reading like I used to. Hey, pick up that book and start reading it again, Charles. You know, when you say, you know, I seem to be falling down spiritually. Some of you women, do you know what you need to do? You need to meet with spiritual women. You need to meet with women that's going to open up the Bible. You need to meet with women that's going to say, hey, let's study the text of Scripture together. I have a question for you. Because, see, what I do, because my good brother said, now, say, he told me that I need to spend more time with my wife, and I do. Friday night, a Lucy in my night. And I do spend that time with Lucy, and it's been great. It's been great. I'm telling you, I'm having a great time. But do you want to know something? My wife and I are always doing something that's constructive. We're always doing something constructive together. Something that's going to, you know, regroup our minds. Something that's going to fulfill us as a couple. What are you doing for fulfillment in your spare time? Now you ask yourself, you answer yourself that question. Because see, that's some of the consequences we as 20th century Christians have to deal with today. What are you doing to entertain yourself? What are your children doing to entertain themselves? Well, let's look at Job chapter 15, verse 14, and we're going to see something about God creates us with some balance and perspective, and so that we'll know what he is and what we might become. And it reads like this. It says, what is man that he should be pure? Or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Now here, what we're finding out in the book of Job is that the Lord is really seeking to communicate man's inability. Without God, you will not be pure or righteous. Without God, you will not reach the perspective of attainment, even as Christian individuals. Let me give you a scenario, and I don't know anything about any of you in the room, so if I'm stepping on your feet, God is stepping on your feet this morning. Listen to this, and I'm just going to pick one out of the blue, and I think this is important for you to deal with. When is the lowest time of your week, and what brings you there? And why do you want to remain low when you know God wants to lift you up? And you stay in that state. You know what that problem is, believer, if you saved at all? You got a problem with your flesh. You are just into the flesh. That's why you low. Then why do you come to church to talk to God about how you are low? Listen to me. And then next week you put yourself right back in that same position. You got a problem. Stay in the book of Job. Go to Job chapter 38, verse 4. Because, see, I think that God is dealing with Job in this book. Because, you know, Job is questioning God about a lot of things, and a lot of men are questioning God about a lot of things. And God is questioning Job, and he says in Job 38 and 4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Do you know God is saying, where were you? I know where you are. You don't even know where you are. Where were you when I created nothingness? You know what he's saying to you, old man and old woman? You need to come to the reality that you have to look at God from his perspective and not yours and know that you are nowhere. When I find myself, you know, when God says to me, where are you now, Pastor John? You know what I tell him, Mel? In the gutter. I'm in the gutter. Why are you in the gutter, Pastor John? I love the gutter. I reverted back to what I used to be. Why did you go back there, Pastor John? Well, I got tired of the righteous life. Who are you trying to fool? Well, I can't fool the people because, see, I can tell them anything, but I can't fool you. What? Do you think you're going to get it on with me, Pastor John? No, Lord. Everything is shut down. I have no spiritual power to preach, teach, do anything. I'm all unhappy. Everything is all haywire. I'm all messed up. But then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come to church and I'm going to start crying and weeping and moaning and fainting and everything so you can feel sorry for me so that I can feel like I'm so high and spiritual. But that's what we do when we come to church. Have you ever seen people come to church and they just bow their head and they don't want to say nothing? And you say, sister or brother, how are you? Man, I'm just trying to make it. No, no, no. They didn't tell you the truth. What do you mean you're trying to make it? Why didn't you tell them what pulled you down in the gutter last week? Tell them about that thing that keeps pulling you down and going to pull you down next week. God has your number. God has your number. Stay in Job 38 and going down to verse 12. Look what he says. It says, have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place? Ooh. God is saying, how dare you? God is saying, I am above you. Come to me with it. See, God is the one that has that power. He has a balanced perspective of this world. Do you know what he's saying to me? You don't have a balanced perspective of your world or even me. You know, as a Christian, every morning when you get up, you should say, Lord, forgive me for what I thought last night before I went to bed. Yes, yes, that's right, brother. Forgive me. See, I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about me. When I got up this morning, I said, Lord, forgive me for what I thought last night before I went to bed. You know why you won't say that? Because you don't have a balanced perspective of God. And he would say, where would you and I hook life on nothing? Nowhere. And he hooked you up, and look at what we do. I'd like you to go now to Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, as we continue to investigate this wonderful suggestion. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, we're taking an honest look from one who understood the world of his day. And the psalmist really gets down. Look at what he says. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Look at verse 4. The psalmist says, what is man that thou dost take thought of him? The psalmist says, when I look up and see universe and creation, and then I look at me, I want to puke. And then when I tell you to focus upon who God is and what God wants for you, we feel so haughty, so high. But the psalmist understood who God was in his day. Look at Psalm 144, verse 3. Psalm 144, verse 3. That's all right. Little babies love me the most. They just said, ooh, Pastor John, it's that ring in my ear that makes me freak out. Psalm chapter 144, verse 3. O Lord, what is man that thou dost take knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou dost think of him? We think too highly of ourselves, church. We think too highly of ourselves. How are you going to make it as a man and woman in this society? Think correctly of yourselves. Are you buffeted with temptation? Be able to go to God and say, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. Young men, listen to me. Listen, I got a call from a brother. I don't know whether he's in the room. But he was telling me that he goes to another church, a pretty big church. And he was saying that he heard myself and my buddy on the radio. And he says, yeah, I'm coming to the point where I need to really get into a solid Bible teaching church. And this church is a very popular church that he goes to. But then he said the pastor looked up one day and saw that the church was halfway empty. And then the pastor tried to, you know, bemoan the fact that y'all need to come to church. But then, do you know what the dear brother told me? There's not enough word in that church. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. Friends, that will not satisfy. The word will satisfy you. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Before God can work adequately in the life of men, they must see the world from God's vantage point. And we've already read Psalm chapter 8, but you can look on your own at verses 6 through 8. So therefore, the care given to us by God through his word bounds us to be associated with him. Let's come down to the sixth and last point as we ask the question, what does it mean to be a city dweller in Los Angeles and a believer in this world?